Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk. Your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Jed Hopkins. Now, let's bust some pencils.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the inaugural debut, whatever you want to call it, the Origins of Busted Pencils podcast, fully leaded education talk. As it says, that crazy announcer with that god-awful radio voice said, I'm Dr. Tim Slecker, and my co-host sitting across from me is
Jed Hopkins.
Dr. Jed Hopkins from Southern Iowa?
Yeah, around there, somewhere
around. Hey, but welcome. We've been doing the show. For those of you who've had a chance to download the show at bustedpencils.com, we really appreciate it. A lot of traffic over the past weekend, well beyond anything we thought for our first, couple shows. So make sure, again, if you want to check out the fully leaded Busted Pencils show, that you go to bustedpencils.com, listen to the episode, take a look, Matt Damon's mom, Karen Lewis, Moment of Zen, they're all there. We want to make sure that you're getting there. But this Busted Pencils, the podcast, the live podcast that we're going to start doing now once a week, Jed, serve another purpose, is to get immediately at the things that are happening right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And there is something happening right now in education.
I think there's a few things happening.
There's a few things happening, but, I want to point this out and just say, we would typically, the way we're going to try to frame this show in the future is around the trending news stories of the day. Okay, when I went to find trending news stories of the day, I got bombarded. There is a trending news story today that I think we need to talk about, and that is this word, this movement, this, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's called opt-out.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. Tell us more.
What do you do when you opt out? I mean, what is that? What is this? What are we...
Sounds naughty.
Speaking of naughty, though, we will get into that. There actually are some people who are practicing opt-out in some form that have been punished. But let's just think about, opt-out. It's testing season. So I just want to read you some headlines right away. Eyewitness News, ABC, New York. Thousands of students in New Jersey opt out of controversial PARC test. That's the Common Core test, so that's out of New Jersey. Here we have KRQE News, Channel 13 in New Mexico. 1,000-plus New Mexico high school students walk out on a PARC test, more expected. Diane Ravitch's blog talking about in Colorado, students will be holding a rally on Saturday, March 7th from 11 to 12 at the Denver Capitol protesting high-stakes testing. They want to opt out. They want to be able to do so without punishment. So we'll come back because Colorado seems to be one of these states that seems to think it has the ability to punish opt-outers. Okay? Which goes to the question, Jed.
Yeah.
What is an opt-outer? I mean, just for – what do you think when you hear that word?
Yeah. Well, it's an action. It's an action and – it can easily be characterized as a negative action, but it shouldn't be.
Right. What's the opt out? What's the PARC? What's this Common Core? I think for the first listener who's coming across, I mean, people are opting out. So we need to put this opting out of tests. The PARC test is the Common Core test for a certain consortium of states. And the Smarter Balance test is the other Common Core test for a bunch of others. And students and parents are opting out.
Right. So I'll go back to what I said. It could sound like a negative action. We are taking our kids from the experience of having a test.
But
there's another way to look at this. There's always another way to look at this. It's actually an effort to maximize student learning.
How could actually getting out of testing maximize student learning?
Because when you are not taking the test, you could be doing something worthwhile. When you are not being prepared for the test, you could be doing something that's actually, believe it or not, more worthwhile than being prepared for a test. There are things out there that are more worthwhile than being prepared for a test in the classroom.
So there's probably the biggest stumbling block right there for people right now.
Right.
Because what you've just said, though, in one way, confirms what a lot of people think. And this is where I want to really spend most of the show today explaining this, is that you just explained an anti-testing movement. Now, granted, you talked about the fact that there were opportunities for learning that could occur.
Right.
But, you know...
Which is really important.
Which is really, really important. But I think we really want to get at this to first state that when you hear of opt-out, and those of you listening for the first time, which would be everybody right now,
right,
because this would be our first show.
Right.
So it'd have to be their first time listening.
Okay.
To the live show.
Right.
Opt out. I got called to the carpet to say, what is it? And so over the weekend, I tried coming up with as succinct definition as possible. I think I was pretty successful because when I put it up on Facebook, got tons of likes, got, like a bunch of shares and people writing and saying, hey, can I use this? And so look, here it is. First of all, what is opt-out? Well, first of all, here's what it's not. It's not, Jed. It's not an anti-testing movement.
Right.
In fact, that distorts it, okay? Right. It is a movement to restore the civic mission of American public schools, which is providing a foundational education for all children in critical participatory democracy. It is a deliberate act of conscience, an act of civil disobedience that targets the coveted data produced by high-stakes tests. Simply, it is a movement to end the dismantling of public schools. What do you think about that?
Sounds very positive. Put like that, it sounds very positive.
So let's go back now, put in context what you just said. So if opt-out is what I just said, then opting out of the test. So something's negative about this high-stakes testing that's going on. Students are finding that there's less instructional time. And that, let's go over. So what do we know about high-stakes assessment?
Right.
This is they narrow the curriculum.
Right, they narrow the curriculum. And we're talking here about opting out of high-stakes assessment that is summative assessment. Ask any teacher about assessment virtually, and they'll probably say, of course we have to assess. But when you ask them, well, really, what kind of assessment are you talking about? They'll say, well, we need to do formative assessment. We need to have experiences in the classroom where kids can show what they can do. But that's very different to a high-stakes test.
Okay.
That's diagnostic, it's informative, it's instructional. You can actually take a test and be better off for doing it. It can actually help you become a better learner in doing it. These high-stakes tests that we're talking about opting out of do not do that.
Okay, and that's really important.
Very
out there is for people, because again, it comes back to saying this is not an anti-assessment movement.
Correct.
This is not, a bunch of, as Arnie tried to characterize it, a bunch of white middle-class mothers in their minivans who are afraid to have their kids tested.
Right.
This is actually, when you put it into this, this is a movement to say, no, we want assessment. We want, but let's put it this way, in simple words, we want real assessment.
Real assessment, sometimes called authentic assessment. That's what we want. And that means that teachers have to be in control of the assessment. And another problem with this high-stakes testing is that it takes the control away from the teacher. The teacher actually has no role in it.
I'd say it takes away control from just about everybody except the policymaker that puts it in place, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it totally depersonalizes. Yeah. Anyway, you're listening to Tim and Jed, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. At this point, too, if you want to call in, it is a live call-in show, and please make sure that you do. You just now need to dial 323-870-4076. That's 323-870-4076. Call in, talk to us about opt-out, challenge us on opt-out. If you think that we're just a bunch of wimps trying to keep our kids away from testing, come on, talk to me a little bit about it. I want to know. If you're for it, if you know somebody who's opting out, you know, talk to us. We want to share their stories out there. Jed, I want to go to another story, though, that was posted on Diane Ravitch's blog today, that when you go to it, the principal in Chicago.
Yeah.
So Troy, La Riviere, okay. Right? So you go to his blog. When tests fail, opt out is the name of his blog. This piece was great that Diane Ravitch put this out. This is from a principal.
Yeah.
All right? And you really like the way he just starts off. He starts off with, I am writing to make it clear that the blank administration, our school administration, fully supports the PTA's effort to maximize students' instructional time.
Ah, beautiful.
Right.
Supports that, as he should, but that's wonderful.
Well, that's what a principal should do, is support instructional time.
That's right.
And how is he going to do that? As a result, we will respect and honor all parent requests to opt out of the park test.
Ah, beautiful.
When? Did you hear that?
I did.
You can go to Troy's blog and look this up and see it for yourself. Here is a principal that has written to his parents and said, in an effort to increase learning, let's be honest, exposure to educational activities, we are going to honor your right as a parent to opt out of the test.
Yeah, he says students whose parents opt them out will receive a full day of instruction.
Not just keep going. There's more
teachers
than that.
Teachers are developing plans that will provide enriched learning experiences for non-testing students during the testing window.
Now, I can actually go, why is that not what we're doing every day anyway?
Absolutely.
But we're not going there. We know the position that, that this principal is in. But the bravery of this statement, but also what it says, and that's what we've been trying to say, is that for people who think opt-out is this movement against testing, you're not getting it. Yeah. It's actually saying, stop minimizing my time in school. Stop wasting my time in school. Stop using me as a pawn to collect data. I'm here to learn as a student.
Right.
I'm not taking this test. Or as parents are saying, you are not using my kid. And now as a principal who's saying, and parents, guess what? If you come to my school, we're not going to harass you either. Because that's one of the things that people who have asked questions about opt-out is, so how will I be treated if I opt my kids out of school?
Right.
It's a big question.
Right. They're concerned. You're always concerned about your children.
Right.
And generally what happens is, you're given some reading to do.
You're getting some reading to do at best.
Yeah.
But, I've been doing this now for 5 years, been, opting my son and my daughter out, I've been participating in it, been working, with United Opt-Outs. I'll state right up front, I am one of the founding members of United Opt-Out. And we have heard everything from students being told just outright lies that if they don't take the test, they're not going to pass to the next grade. That their school, because of a one opt-out or two opt-outs, is going to be defunded. Okay? And these are outright lies, bullying tactics. Why, though? This is the question. What leads hopefully decent human beings that are working in schools to say things like to a third grader that if you don't take your state test, you know you're going to be responsible for staying back a grade, or you're going to get our school in trouble.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
It's the environment.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to, I'm looking at you, and I'm sitting there going, Jed, what's it like walking into today's classroom during testing time?
Yeah, well, it says a lot. Unfortunately, it says a lot about the way the profession has evolved, or should I say devolved. It's we live at a time now when measuring children seems to be more important than educating them. Even when the relationship between that measurement and being an effective educator is shown to be somewhat tenuous, when the measurements become these kind of measurements, these inauthentic kinds of measurements, where the teacher plays no role in the instrument. Well, I can't emphasize that enough. It's like if you're a teacher in a school these days, when it's testing time, you're an instrument. You are basically, you know, you're proctoring the exam, and that's all you do. You have no say in that exam, the worthiness of that exam. You don't even get to see the results until maybe next year you'll see the results. Usually, typically, useless. Has nothing to do with helping the teacher be a better educator.
Well, we said, you know, we've talked about this, and in fact, you know, the instrument, as you say.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so the teacher becomes the instrument, but, or we look at this, the tool.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that one because, you know, when you call somebody a tool, I don't know, you know,
right,
being
right.
from where you are from in Iowa, you might not know this, but being called a tool is not a very pleasant thing to be called.
Right.
Okay. But you know, so the tool, this truly is, it's a tool.
Yeah, it's a tool. And we need tools. Right, tools. You know, humankind has always had tools, and we need better tools, and we use tools all the time. But when we're talking about educating, the tool becomes something that has to be educated as well, if you like. In other words, it has to be something that is not rigid. It has to be something that can be changed. And can be reflected upon in itself. How you actually observe students, what you observe in students, is tricky. It's complex, and requires creativity. There is no creativity in being an assessment proctor.
So you can't be a tool.
Right. All right.
Well, all right. So listen, teachers out there. Yeah, go.
Well,
go
one
ahead.
One more thing about tools.
Sure.
I mean, the thing about a tool is it amplifies something, right? It shows something up. You know, you give kids a test, and it shows them being able to do. It shows something they're able to do at that time, and
or not able to do.
Right. But it can only show very little. It's a tool is focused but narrow. You know, a telescope will get you to see a star that you couldn't see with the naked eye, but that's all it'll get you to see. It won't let you see the big picture. You have to get away from the telescope, get away from the tool in order to see the big picture.
I was thinking of...
But if we rely just on the information we get from the tools, you can see how problematic that's going to be.
Well, it's very narrow. As you just said, it's very narrow. It's,
right.
It's, okay. So it's a tool. So listen, teachers out there, okay, don't be a tool. Okay, that's the message from Busted Pencils Radio. Don't be a tool. Or if you're going to be, though, let's talk about, if you weren't, though, you know, and this is what I want people to start talking about, because you said something about this measurement, and somebody's response comes back and says, but there's nothing wrong with measuring kids, Jed. We need to know where they are. And in fact, we need an objective measurement of that student. And, you know, we've said now recent research really, in one way, that's kind of like this common sense myth that having an unbiased, objective paper with questions on it is a really good way to know if kids are learning, as opposed to the teacher actually giving some kind of test or having the ability to judge that child, okay?
Yeah.
Great research this year, though, comes out and actually says, you know what? That's kind of really true. They take the ACT, SAT scores of thousands of students and the grades, combine that into, you know, this is what statisticians do. They crank it into some kind of sausage maker. And at the end, they say, who completed college? SAT scores at this level, ACT scores, people with good grades.
Yeah.
Number one predictor of whether or not you're actually going to graduate college is school grades by a margin of 4-1.
Wow.
So in other words, those subjective, nasty teachers that are sitting there daily,
yeah,
time and time again, spending all that time with your child, in and out, assessing them.
Right.
Actually, their grade that they give the kids,
right,
not objective,
right,
but they predict better success. So in other words, there's a myth then,
absolutely,
of this common objective measure that lets us know what's really going on.
Right.
In fact, it doesn't really let us know what's really going on.
Yeah.
Back again, Marion Brady had a piece in the Washington Post yesterday. He ends it by saying, I'm sorry, but from now on, we need to insist, in fact, that assessment occur with the classroom teacher. Why is that not common sense?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you're sick and you go to the doctors and they take your blood pressure, that's an objective measure, which is useful, but it's not going to tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
Of course not. It's one piece. And how many times do you need to have your blood pressure taken in order for you to get well? You know, so again, you know, it seems to go against common sense. We don't need to subject kids to a battery of these so-called objective tests so often. We don't need that.
Well, I'm to the point where I'm not even sure we need them ever. Okay, I mean, I have to say it at this point. I'm more and more that I read, more and more that I see, I'm not convinced that we need these, especially when we can say that, you know what, a good classroom teacher.
Yeah.
Is really the best assessment instrument that we have. And the reason why is because they're not an instrument.
Right.
They're a human being that's living that
right.
learning and
right.
teaching experience with the child.
Right.
And that's the difference.
Right.
And when you insist on measurements, tools, instruments,
yeah.
instead of teachers, think about that. You're
yeah.
insisting on less for kids.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's another
right.
way to talk about that, right?
That's right.
Is to say, wait a minute, my child deserves
yeah.
a test
yeah.
as opposed to a teacher.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It is. Yeah.
But yet that's what's happening.
Yeah.
We have class sizes over the past 15 years over accountability have increased.
Yeah.
Why? We've defunded schools, but yet we've put more money into instruments and tools.
Right.
That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever if you
right.
think about it this way. Kids deserve teachers, not tools.
Yes.
Teachers, not tools. That's new for busted pencils there. Teachers, not tools, man.
I like it.
You like that one?
I like it.
Hey, just remind people, though, 323-870-4076 is the number. You can call in and talk to Tim, talk to Jed. Well, I'm Tim, so that would be me. 323-870-4076. Talk live to both of us, the inaugural beginning Busted Pencils podcast, you know, fully leaded education talk. But Jed, you know, we're coming, the time moves along here, you know, for 30 minutes. We're down to around 5, 6, 7 minutes left. And I wanted one other place, though, in this opt-out movement to talk about the fact that while there are parents
mm-hmm.
who are fully involved in students at the high school level that we've heard about. In fact, you can go and check those news sources out, you know, New Jersey, New Mexico, and check for yourself that these are students that are walking out, that there are parents that are opting out. I think our principal from Chicago, Troy, points out a unique development in the opt-out movement, and that is school personnel that are electing to say something positive about opt-out. In fact, there's a courageous group of teachers right now out there. I'm hearing them from state to state to state that are saying, back to this act of conscience that I talked about, opt out, that if it's an act of civil disobedience and an act of conscience, and we know that these tests take away from critical citizenship building, takes away from democracy, we as a teacher can't give it. We have a moral obligation, an oath of consciousness, were to say, to not give tests.
Yeah.
And there's a huge group of these. I mean, people say huge. What do you mean by huge? You know, I've only heard of 15 to 20. Hey, that's a movement.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about bravery, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Talk about bravery. And I want to say, going back to this principle, Troy Larivière,
Larivière.
I mean, he is an administrator doing this, and that's rare. So I want to take my hat off to him. You know,
he's busting pencils.
Hey, Troy, you busted pencils.
That's it. When you get a busted pencil from the busted pencil dudes, you have done it. But you know, Troy, I would like to see for some of those other teachers out there. Yeah. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if they were working in concert with Troy?
Absolutely.
As teachers of conscience, working with administrators of conscience, encouraging parents to say, "Look, we've had enough."
Yeah.
Because this is how, as we said, I know some of these teachers, and they're getting a lot of flack.
You said an important thing there, working with parents. To me, it sounds like Troy is truly listening to his PTA. He's listening to his parents.
Listening to his PTA. Yeah. But he's also got to be recognizing the fact that this is, you know, to put teachers in this position.
Yeah.
He doesn't say this in here, but it would be interesting to hear how he might respond to one of his own faculty saying, "Look, I, in good conscience, can't participate in giving these tests."
Yeah.
Because those teachers that are out there doing it, you know, some are fine. Others are being given a hard time. You know, why, though?
Yeah.
That's the part. Since everything that we've laid out in this first show is true about testing, that it's worthless, that it's essentially, you know, you're a tool if you're doing, or you know, it's instrumental, it takes away from education, it depersonalizes, then you do have a moral obligation as a teacher to have an act of conscience that says, "I can't do this." Then how do you not support the teachers, other than for the fact that we've created such a toxic environment that even administrators and the whole system is sick, that you start to punish people for doing the right thing?
Right.
And that's what I'm hearing happening right now. Parents can do this, and
yeah.
Parents keep doing it, those of you that are out there. You need to keep the opt-out going. We need it. Teachers that are doing this, though, let's recognize and start rethinking about punishing teachers that are using their own professional act of conscience to say, "I'm not going to participate in this uneducational activity, this activity that takes away learning time, instructional time, that takes away the time where kids could be engaged in project-based learning," like Marion Brady talked about in his Washington Post piece yesterday. You know, these are teachers that are saying, "I want to teach."
Yeah.
And we're punishing them?
It's crazy. Yeah.
You know, and I think parents need to hear about the fact that there are teachers out there right now trying to do what's best by your kids, and they're actually being punished for it.
Yeah.
You know, so parents, rise up any way you possibly can. Take the opt-out. You know, bust some pencils yourselves, because you as parents, you can actually turn this totally in another direction. But for those teachers out there that are thinking about it and you're worried about it, you know what? It's easy for Jed and I to say here on this side of the microphone, "Come on, do it. We know you can. We're with you." It's not safe. It's not a safe environment, though, right now to do this. It's not. It's an act of conscience that's going to put you in danger. But you're doing something that in the end is good for kids.
You know, that in the end is educational.
It's educational. And that's what we like to do here at Busted Pencils Radio is, you know, we like to have fun. We like to mess around. We like to call people tools and things like that. But we want to make sure that we're educational all the time. And so, listen. Not with that one, though. That was one that jumped in. We're going to go out with a little bit of music by a band that we've just discovered recently. Hopefully, we're going to be talking to on our other show that we do.
Hope so.
A band called The Tossers. Little Irish, from Chicago, funky punk Irish type of stuff. The song "You Can Be" will take us out, and I'll give some people. But again, if you like the show, hey, make sure you check us out at bustedpencils.com. Follow us on Twitter at bustedpencils. Follow me at Flecker. And at one point, Jed is going to get on Twitter. So again, thank you. And talk to us out. What is that? You can be whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
what you do.